You were Close Encounters on Capitol Hill. It's fantastic. And you know, and I've been telling people, this is not a political book here. We're not dealing with those kind of encounters on Capitol Hill. This is a great story.
Well put. It's not a red state, blue state kind of thing. But unfortunately, everything that happens in D.C. is political.
Yeah.
And what I found was when I talked to people there off the record, they were telling me, look, you're not going to get anybody to come on the record for your work, because the moment they do that, then they're going to be held accountable. And nobody wants to do that, not an individual, not an agency. They just don't want that albatross around their neck, which I kind of understand. But at the same time, here's my bottom line with this, is that I believe education is the key to our evolution. And as long as this information is being withheld from us, we really can't move on to the next level of our being.
Well, what astounds me about your work, and we'll talk about the 52 case again, because that's a great case, but your work is really based on the fact that something happened years later.
Well, something profound, and if we didn't have these photographs on film, then we probably, I would have never done the research, but the fact of the matter is that the person who took those pictures is a former ABC News photographer engineer, and he worked for them for 18 years. 8 of those years were at the White House. So he wasn't working for ABC News at the time. He had voluntarily retired because his father was dying from exposure to Agent Orange, unfortunately. So he took some time off, and he was doing freelance work. And three times in 4 months, he accidentally captured pictures of UFOs in prohibited airspace in the middle of the heart of D.C., where he lives. And it happened on July the 4th when he was working for the city, taking pictures of the skyline with the beautiful fireworks. It happened again on July 16th, and it happened again later in November. But in the interim, there was all kinds of weird stuff going on. I mean, 10 days after they landed or filmed landing on the Capitol building, which we've got the pictures up there now, 10 days later, NORAD had to scramble jets to chase the UFOs out of the area.
Now, what was the media doing at the time, primarily radio and print?
You're talking about 2002?
2000, yes.
No, Fox News actually covered the event.
Oh, they did?
They're the only ones. And, you know, here's the thing. There's two independent DVDs that are being in production right now. One of them is by the former ABC News photographer. His name is Mr. Will Allen. And then also Rob Simone was out there recently with a film crew, and he's put together a documentary of the event. They actually found the landing zone for a couple of these objects, and the grass, George, the grass is still burnt. To this day, they can't get anything to grow there. It's burned in these spherical.
Oh, that's an incredible story.
Well, here's the other part.
All right,
part.
But they must have shooed this away. I mean, this should be a major story, Robert.
Well, yeah, but at the same, how do you break this to the general public? I mean, because look, it's not like they can keep them out. And believe me, they've been trying over the years, and it's not working. And you can't shoot at them. That's not going to work. Although they did.
But is there a need to shoot at them, first of all? I don't think so.
No, that's something that the CIA decided. There was a presidential order in 1950, I think it was 52, when Truman, he issued the order to shoot on site. And they quickly rescinded the order. But there's been cases where guys just got an itchy finger, and they went for it. And it was not always a good idea for them.
No, not very smart.
No, because they can defend themselves, obviously, when they need to.
Well, and they do so, based on what we've heard.
Yeah, but most of the time they just evade us because we're not anywhere near. I mean, yeah, I know there rumors are that we've developed some stuff covertly that's based on that, and I'm sure that's true to some degree, but you know, I mean, what are you going to do? Bring out your covert flying saucer and go into a dogfight over D.C.?
Yeah, so,
that's not going to work either.
So they hold back. Now, were other people in the 2000-plus sightings, were other people witnessing this beyond the photographers?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's what floored me is when I started to – I mean, I knew going into this, you know, researching this guy's claims that he had the film, but I wanted to get some background. And the more I looked, the more I found. And I was astounded at how many eyewitness accounts that were available. Most of these people have done this anonymously through different websites and publications. But my God, some of these things, they don't all happen at night either, George. They happen broad daylight and in front of dozens, if not hundreds, of people. And what are they going to see? But here's the problem, just like the military. What is the average person going to do with that event? Who do they tell, really?
Well, and I've got to say, I mean, this has happened after, right?
Hmm?
After all the tragedies, after the horror that has befallen us.
I mean,
what were we doing? I mean, that now we've got missile launchers all over the place.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, after 9/11, yeah. 2001, yes, they increased security. They increased the prohibited, what's called P-51, is a prohibited airspace. And the center of that starts at the Washington Monument and expands out in a circular area. Then that's surrounded by restricted airspace. So it's by degrees, but you're right. After 2001, things got escalated as far as security, both in the ground and on the ground and in the air. Then in 2003, when we invaded Iraq, they increased the security even greater. And yet, in that period of time, there was over 3,645 what they called incursions. Now, we don't know if those are UFOs, but I kind of don't think they were all Cessnas, you know? It's just and that I found there was a special committee meeting in D.C. that was convened just because they were trying to figure out how to coordinate. I mean, they're putting every agency under the sun on this, and they all coordinate through something called the NRCC, National Capital Regional Control Center. It's bizarre. I mean, how much stuff that I was able to dig up on this in about a year and a half. But
that's the time period you spent writing this book?
Well, yeah, because, okay, here's the thing. Daryl Sims sent me he forwarded me an email from the photographer Will Allen in D.C. with the photos and a brief summary of what happened. And Daryl sent that to me in spring of last year. And I looked at it and I thought, geez, that's amazing. How come I didn't hear about that? If this really happened, I mean, come on. I would imagine somebody would have reported it. So, but there was a phone number there for the photographer, Mr. Allen. So I figured, hey, I'll call him up. And he answered the phone. We started talking. And I think we've probably had over 1,000 phone conversations since that time, really. I mean, sometimes it's twice a day. I know my wife gets tired of me talking to the guy, but I'm so fascinated by the fact. I mean, here's the weird part. If you can, in fact, anybody can read the entire first chapter is all about Mr. Allen and his experiences, which includes the fact that he was abducted as a child when he was in England near Sculthorpe Air Force Base. You see, his father was a high-ranking Air Force officer, and so Mr. Allen was an Air Force brat, and he traveled around the country with, you know, his father, around the world, going to these different Air Force bases, right? So the first time he was abducted by Little Grays was when he was 4 years old. I forget exactly what year it was.
And they kept coming back.
Well, the next time it happened, he was outside Fort Dix in New Jersey.